This free resource is from the 2013 Spiritual Leadership Conference in Lancaster, California, hosted by Pastor Paul Chapel in the Lancaster Baptist Church. This lesson is on church office administration with Mrs. Lisa Stoner. The Stoners have been members of Lancaster Baptist Church for over 26 years, and Mrs. Stoner oversees and coordinates the secretarial staff of Lancaster Baptist Church.
When Pastor asked me to start working in the staff, you know, many, many years ago, this is not what I signed up for. I can tell you that. So, at all. But I'm glad to be a blessing if I can be. And I always, when I speak in a setting like this, I try to help paint a picture. I know it's easy for you to come here and you think, oh, this is such a great church, and it is a great church. And we have all this stuff and all this money and all this staff, and it's hard to see your church like this. But you know what? God is great, and we serve a wonderful God. And so I try to remember some of the things that we did when we were smaller, some of the things that we did to help us build. And so hopefully something that's said today will help you. And my focus today is for someone who runs the office. So how many of you, come on in, how many of you are a pastor's wife? Like, you are the office. Are you the office? Okay. And how many of you work in the office then? Okay. How many of you are moms? That's me. And that's something that I know is often part of the picture there. But what I want to focus firstly on, that's where our scripture is based, and I'm sure you could see this if you look at the scripture reading, 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And Titus 2:7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. And when it comes to office administration, more than anything, what I am is an example. And I need to be the right example in order to have a follower. Okay, so that's a little bit where we're going today in the terms of administration. Okay, here's some definitions here. I love to look words up in the dictionary because they help me understand so much about a word. Sometimes we use a word and we don't really know what it means. So the word administer is a verb, and it means manage and be responsible for the running of. So to administrate is maybe to manager. To manage, or administer is to manage. An administrator, then, is a noun, is a person responsible for running a business or an organization. So that's the person who administers. An administrator administers. And then administration is the process or activity of running a business organization, or it can be called guidance, leadership, and control of the efforts of the groups towards some common good. And that's where we're going to go today, is in the concept of guidance. In our church office, one of my utmost goals is guidance, and that's what we're going to talk about today. I read in a Christian, the Church Administration Handbook by Bruce Powers. If you're a pastor, you're probably familiar with this book, but it defines, just listen to this, it's not in your notes, but you can, this will just help me define where we're going. The definition of a church office. Now, I don't know if it's your office or my office, but the definition of a church office. The church office is the nerve center of your church's life, is a support system for staff members and volunteers, a communication center for church life, and a business location for transacting church affairs. The purpose of the church office is to provide support services that assist the congregation in achieving church-approved goals. And that's probably, you say, that's what I want my office to be. I want my office to be a support center for the church members, for the office staff, for those around me. And so let's talk a little bit about, so the church office administration involves giving guidance and directions to the church office. Okay, so number one, we need to guide our office. Let's see, we went over all that. Guide your office to remember people. I want to back up a little bit, and this goes back to the concept of being an example. Letter A, love and pray for them. And the them in that sentence is your office staff. Okay? You, as the leader, need to love and pray for your office staff. Okay? First, you need to love them. You need to know their names. You need to know their children's names. You need to know their husband's name. You need to know their struggles and their trials. If they have a sick child or they're struggling with the health of their mother. You know, I'm not old, but I am going to the age now where a lot of my friends are having health issues with their parents. And a lot of our staff, you know, I tell our staff, some of our longtime staff, we used to talk about diaper rash and colic, and that's not what we talk about so much so more in some of our offices. But you need to know your staff, you need to pray for them, you need to love them, you need to remember occasions, remember their birthdays, remember their anniversaries, participate in events when you can, weddings, showers, parties. Know and love the people that you administrate. Okay? They don't know how much you They don't care how much you know until you know they know how much you care. You've heard that so often, and it very much applies even in a Christian environment, even in your church office. Okay? And we need to serve them. I got the kick out of this. This last week, we were, of course, running around like chickens with our heads cut off around here, as you can imagine. I don't know if you've ever been involved in something like this, but last week was amazing. Okay? And we have a meeting every week where I meet with the support staff, and we have I gave them instructions and reminders and announcements and some sort of a lesson of some kind. And I went to Brother Christensen and I said, I'm a little bit torn about having a meeting this week. I said, I sense that we could really use to pull aside and have a time of prayer and encouragement. I can just see it on their faces. But I can also see that it would really be a blessing just to cancel it, that they don't have to spend that time in a meeting. And he said, why don't you go get them all a drink from the GA and deliver it to their desk? So instead of having a meeting on that day, I went and got, you know, white mountain chocolate, whatever they like, at the coffee shop, and I took it to their desk. And it was very simple. It was no more investment in my time, really, than it was in administering a meeting. But why are you bringing me a drink? I'm like, who am I? You know, I can bring you a drink. But it was a small gesture to let them know that I appreciate their time, and I appreciate what they're going through getting ready for a conference like this. And it's serving. I'm not the big boss. I'm a servant, but I need to be an example in that for them if they haven't given me entrance into their life. And they'll give me entrance and influence in their life when I love and pray for them and care and serve them. People do what people see. Pastor said that a little while ago. And if they see me serving, they're going to want to serve too. It builds relationships. So first, guide your office to remember people. Letter A, love and pray for them. Letter B, remind them to love people. Okay. So if you are loving them, then you have entrance in their life, so you can remind them to love people. You remember, what is the ministry all about but people? And yet sometimes, especially us office staff, we go, I could get my job done if it wasn't for all these people. How many of you have ever thought that? The phone would stop ringing, I could do my job. But you know who's on the other end of the phone? The church member who pays your salary. But it's easy to forget that. And so I want to spend time guiding our office staff to remember to love people. I constantly encourage them to pray for the pastor, pray for his family, to pray for our deacons, to pray for our leadership team, to pray for our staff, to pray for our choir, to pray for our services. I encourage our secretaries, our office staff, to pray. I encourage them to pray for hurting members. We had a long time member before Brother Walther passed away, who you've all heard about by now. Less than a month ago, we had a man in our church who'd been a bus worker for over 20 years who died of cancer. And we prayed for him, and his family is very connected to our church. You know, his children, his grandchildren are all either on our longtime members, deacon staff, and we prayed for them as a support staff. It isn't just for the pastor and the pastoral staff and the Sunday school teacher to pray. Encourage your staff to write notes, to remember occasions, to reach out to people. I tell our support staff all the time, someone comes in and helps you with something, write them a thank you note. It's the best way to get them to come back, is to appreciate them, and you do appreciate them, but sometimes we're so busy to not appreciate. The pastor has a little saying, thankfulness is thankfulness. We are thankful, but so often we don't think to take the time to write a note, to appreciate somebody. I encourage our staff to write notes. I encourage our staff in the areas of soul winning and visitation. Our secretary should be out door knocking, and I encourage them, and I note when they are, and I try to help when they're not, and just to be visible, because I want them to remember the ministry. If you lose sight of people, you won't want to be in the ministry because they'll become a bother. Okay? If you lose sight of service to God, you won't want to be in the ministry either. We can be all about serving people, but if we forget that it's for the Lord, we'll get discouraged because we're looking for a pat on the back. And I encourage our secretaries in all these ways, our staff. Loving people isn't just for the pastoral staff. Letter C, remind them of the privilege to be in the ministry. And this isn't just for PKs. And oftentimes PKs do need to hear that. I'm not one, but a lot of times PKs do need to hear that. But so does your staff. It's a privilege. If any of you have worked other than a church, you know what a privilege is to work at a church. I don't have people cussing at me. I don't have people looking me up one side, down the other. I don't. And it's a privilege. And it's something I don't take lightly. And it's something that I care about. And I encourage our secretaries in that way. I remind them of a privilege to be in the ministry. Without people, we don't have a job. And I remind them, too, that even as support staff, I'm called to this place. God has me here. This is God's will for my life. Therefore, as a mom, he has an answer for all of those situations. I remember when I had two children at home with chickenpox. And it was a big season. I don't remember what season it was. It had to have been fall, like our fall program. I'm like, Lord, what am I supposed to do? So I stayed home. The minute my husband got home, I went to work for about a week. You know, there's a way to solve these things, but sometimes we're not looking for them because we're feeling sorry for ourselves, as a mom in particular. But remind them of the privilege to be in the ministry. Letter C, teach them what God is doing in your life. As an administrator, when you're administrating people, teach them what God is doing in your life. And I have learned that if I need it, or if God's doing it in my heart, it'll probably help them. And so God has allowed me to share some of these things. I have another handout here. And these are some things that I taught our staff in the last year. And one of them is, in January, I gave 10 support staff resolutions. There are 10 things that I was resolved to improve in my life this year. And I shared that with the support staff. I've taught them, there's another lesson in there, I taught them a lesson this year about balance. I took on a new role this year. I am not only the office manager, but I'm also Dr. Tom Shepherd's secretary. And that's a big deal. and it's required some adjustments in my life and some balance in my life, and something God taught me. And so what God taught me, I taught the secretaries. And that's in this handout too, some things I taught them. But if I am transparent and helping them know what God's doing in my life, they can get more from my example. If they think I'm just somebody way up there and they can never be like me, they won't follow my example. But I am just like them. I really am. And I'm just like you. I didn't sign up for this, like I said. Okay. So love and pray for your staff. Remind them to love people. Remind them of the privilege to be in the ministry. And then number two, guide your office to follow protocol. And this is probably the meat of where we're going to spend the next few minutes. Guide your office to follow protocol. Wait a minute. Something's wrong here. Probably me. Huh. Oh, that's right. Teach them what God's doing in your life. Okay. There we go. Number one, teach them to think. Letter A, teach them to think. This is something I spend a lot of time on. I don't want just a robot who types. Push here when this happens, push here when that happens. I want them to think. I want them to think, how would Pastor want this done? I want them to think, what's the right thing to do in this situation? I want them to think, how does this meet the goal that we're trying to... I just don't want them to be a robot. I want them to think. And we talk about that at length in our meetings. I try to teach them philosophy. Not that I'm a great philosopher, but I try to teach them why, so that they can take whatever situation they're in that's maybe new or maybe a little bit different, and they can apply the truth. Otherwise, I have to tell them what to do in every situation, everything that comes along, every phone call, every email that comes across, everything that comes in the mail. If I don't teach them to think, then I have a lot more questions that I have to answer, and I don't mind answering questions. I do that too. But I teach them to think. How would Pastor want this done? I teach them about confidentiality. I teach them about principles of time management, and a lot of skills, and we'll get into that in a minute. But I teach them to think. I try to teach them good habits. I teach them how to daily, weekly, monthly, annual, have good habits. And, one of my pet peeves in life is being late. And it's something that I think is a poor testimony. But, you know, being late is a habit. And we allow it in our lives, and we say, oh, I'm just not a morning person. And so, therefore, I'm late. That's a habit that you probably started, and I don't know who you are, and there may not be any in here, but I bet there are. That's a habit that you started when you were very young. And I have a lot of young staff that I try to influence and mentor and encourage, and I tell them, you need to break that habit. What, are you just going to magically get married someday, and you're not going to be late anymore? Wrong. You're going to have three kids, and you're just magically not going to be late anymore? Wrong. And then, you know why your kids are late for school? Because you were late your whole life. And it's a habit. And there's a lot of habits, and so I'm trying to teach our staff to have good habits. I teach them steps to success, like to have a checklist. You have an event? How many checklists we checked off in the last week? Everything we do around here has a checklist. Did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do this? Did you do that? But that doesn't happen by accident. Checklists just don't appear on your computer. You know, I try to help our staff with checklists. Planning ahead. Now, as an administrator, planning is one of the main functions of administration. If you look up administration in any kind of a textbook, you go to college, planning is one of the primary functions of administration. And you need to teach your staff to be a good planner, but you can't teach them to be a good planner if you aren't yourself. Again, we're talking about being a good example. If you're a good example, they'll want to follow you. Okay. You need to model this area. You need to decide in advance what to do, how to do it, when to do it, who should do it. I spend a lot of time scheduling. I schedule our receptionists. I schedule the print center. We got vacate the whole summer. The whole rest of the summer is vacation for somebody. And that's good. They need it, and they've earned it. But somebody has to fill in, you know, and and I'm not going to wait till tomorrow to solve Friday's spot, you know. Planning ahead, but I need to model that amongst the staff. So letter A, teach them to think. Letter B, teach them skills. I, along with teaching them lessons about confidentiality and lessons about philosophy, I teach a lot of skill helps. I taught a whole month-long or probably 6 weeks long series last year on telephone skills. I got some books and I read them. And then I made them into an outline about how to answer the phone, how to deal with this situation, how to deal with that situation. And I taught a whole section on telephone skills. I've taught about email. I've taught about voicemail. I've taught about Outlook. I've taught about Word. And I try to help our staff learn skills. And I tell them, if I've said this once, I've said it a dozen times, go get one of those yellow books for dummies. Whatever it is that you're struggling with on your computer, if it's Word, if it's Excel, if it's PowerPoint, those little yellow dummies books, don't be so proud that you can't buy a book for dummies, because they're really helpful and practical. And just get your computer out and go through. And I tell them all the time, on your phone, this is on your cell phone too. Have you ever sat with your cell phone and said, I wonder what happens if I do that? And you learn something. Have you noticed that? You can learn something. And same thing with the phone that sits on your desk, the same thing with the computer that your pastor has very generously put on your desk. Do you even know how to use it? Do you know how to use it to the best of your ability? Take some time this summer. Maybe you have a little bit of extra time this summer. Maybe you don't. Learn something. Challenge yourself to learn something. And none of us are too old. None of us are an old dog that can't learn any new tricks. Okay? None of us are too old to learn something new on our computer. Learn a shortcut. Learn how to do something faster. Work on your typing. You know, there are all kinds of things out there online now that can help you work on your typing. And they're free. If you hunt and peck, learn how to type. You can do that this summer. Read a book. Do something that'll help you. And I encourage our staff in this way. Improve their typing, their computer skills, their phone skills, their email skills. Shortcuts on their computer. I model reading. Our pastor, of course, there isn't a greater example in my life for reading than our pastor. And he gives us books. He encourages us to read. And he gives us titles. And it's a tremendous blessing. Organizing is another primary function of administration, but be a good example in organizing. I said this a number of years ago now. I had a change in my opinion about organizing ahead of leadership conference. You know, it used to be that cleaning out every closet was a checklist for me, for leadership. Every wall in this whole property, every carpet has been painted or cleaned, every drawer, every closet. You can look in one. Go ahead. They've all been cleaned ahead of leadership conference. And that used to be such a drudgery to me. But now, I love it. I wish I had that at my house. Something that forced me every year to clean out every drawer and every closet. It's how you look at it. And it's a blessing to clean out all those closets and make room, and organizing and cleaning is just such a good example. And if you need to have a good example in that way. And another skill that you need to be sure to teach your staff is delegation. There are people, probably the people on your staff, who are constantly struggling with time, do not know how to delegate. They hold things too close and they won't share. They're afraid of sharing. They don't know how to share. But I promise you, if you'll help them with delegation, it'll change their life. And that the other side of that is there are people in your church who need to serve and who want to serve and who would just be a real blessing to serve. For the first 10, 12 years here, we had all volunteer receptionists. We had 10 ladies, one did Monday morning and one did Monday afternoon. One did Tuesday morning, one did Tuesday afternoon. And then we had 10 ladies that did that volunteered to do our phones. That was until we started the college, that we had all volunteers. And there are ladies like that. And do you know what a blessing it would be to have somebody answer the phone so you don't have to? I tell them, now we have hired people who do that because of many, many issues, but they always apologize. Oh, I'm sorry to ask you a question. I'm like, you're sitting down there answering 10 calls or 20 calls or 50 calls and you ask me one question? It's okay because I'm not down there doing it, you know. But there are ladies in your church who would do that. They'd answer phones. They'd fold bulletins. Where's anybody here Sunday night? None of you are here Sunday night. Pastor honored 85 of our church members who have done one ministry for 20 or more years. And there's one lady, she's folded bulletins and stuffed bulletins for over 20 years. Every week, she picks up her box of bulletins and she stuffs all those in. So how many of you, does anybody here do the bulletin? You know what I'm talking about. You fold it and you stuff all that stuff in there. Now, we do 2,500 of them every Sunday now. Now, we have a team. She's not the only one. But for many years, she was the only one. And there's some, you don't have to do that. I tell our secretaries all the time, don't let me catch you doing something that a volunteer could do. Why should pastor pay you to do something that somebody in the church would love to do? If you would just think and ask and bring her alongside and delegate it to her. It doesn't have to be her, it can be a him. But think that way. Who can come along and help me do this? Birthday card. We send out thousands of birthday and anniversary cards every year. And we have help with it. Someone stuffs them, puts the postage on them, helps it stay organized. There's all kinds of things that volunteers do. We have a Sunday school record system where attendance is scanned. So instead of paying a secretary 4 hours every Monday morning to scan records, we have a volunteer that comes in. It's not hard. It's not confidential. It's not rocket science. She's actually retired. And she comes in and she scans these Sunday school rolls every Monday morning. And then a secretary, now we do the absentees and we deal what happens with that attendance. Somebody else does. But we have a volunteer that comes in and do that. And I hope that spurs some ideas for you in the area of delegation. Letter C, model good communication. I'm talking about guiding your staff to follow protocol. Model good communication. Communication is a two-way street. Okay? For communication to take place, there has to be a transaction, an interaction between two people. I can send you a voicemail. I can send you an email, but until you pick it up at the other end and acknowledge it, communication has not taken place. That's the transaction that I'm talking about. And that involves follow-up, which is what's hard. Okay, I can send you an email all day long, but for me to go, hey, did you get my email? That's a follow-up. And I need to model that good communication with my staff, with our secretaries. Communicate when you go to lunch. Communicate when you're coming in late or leaving early. Communicate when you're going to be out of the office. Communicate change. That's a huge thing around here. Communicate change. You know, we print a calendar. We print it in December for the next 12 months. Well, as you start getting towards the end of the year, there's things on that calendar that have changed. How is it communicated? Who is it communicated to? And, you know, the further you get down the year, the less likely it is that, or the more likely it is that something's going to have changed. Room changes. Were any of you here for the church planters thing on Monday? You know, that room changed. We advertised for months that the church planters luncheon was going to be in the North Auditorium, but that's where we had a funeral reception, so we moved it. There was so much communication that had to happen just for that one room to change. But somebody has to think through it and communicate it. We need to communicate new things. When there's something new, you have to communicate well, and you need to model that amongst your staff. Dwight L. Moody said, a good example is far better than a good precept. You can have a truth, but if you don't communicate it and be a good example doing that, you will frustrate yourself. Okay, letter D, remind them of processes and procedures. I'm constantly reminding our staff that your printed envelope should look like this, and your letterhead should look like that, and this is how we post the mail, and this is how we fold our letters, and this is what we say on our voicemail, and this is constantly, partly, and I've learned this, an educator will tell you repetition is the key to learning. Okay, and sometimes I feel like I'm saying the same things over and over again, but you know what I've learned? The person sitting in that room is at a different stage in her life than she was the last time I said it, and it'll hit her differently than the last time I said it, because it applies differently in her life, or there's somebody new in the room who has never heard it. So I'm not afraid to repeat something, because we need to have repetition, and we need to have that reinforcement. I also, in the second handout that I gave you, on the last page of it, is a set of terms we publish here called Christian Rules for Writing, or Rules for Christian Writing. And we put together a number of years ago common terms that we use around here and how we're going to spell them, like gospel. Is gospel capitalized or not? Is childcare one word or two? Is the Lord's table apostrophe S or not? Is men and boys, and because we want to be consistent. And so we made some decisions and we publish it. We re-update it two or three times a year. Striving, most of this is driven now by, I used to do this myself, but now Striving Together does it, because this is what we give to our proofreaders. Every proofreader gets this, and we ask them, help us to be consistent with these terms. You know, we used to, Men and Boys Campout's coming up, and we went round and round one year about apostrophe S. Is it the men's and the boys' apostrophe possessive campout, or is it just a plural campout? Because it's a lot of semantics and a lot of grammar there, and a few years ago we pretty much got rid of every apostrophe. We just made them all plural instead of possessive. But then you get one bulletin says one thing, and one bulletin says something else, and the screens in the auditorium say something else, and the Baptist voice says something else. And, so we put this out to try to be consistent. And this is one way that we can remind our staff to follow processes and procedures. Letter E, provide oversight in the office. And this is, I alluded to some of this already. This is talking about schedule. If you're the administrator, you're the overseer in your office, you need to know what everybody's schedule is. You need to know when they're there, when they're not. You need to help them with vacations. You need to help them when they're sick. They need to know what to do when they're sick. They need to know who to call. They need to know who the sub can be. They need to have their life organized so that they can have a sub. That just doesn't apply just to a school setting. If you are an office and you turn up sick, your kids turn up sick, can somebody still function in your office to some extent, okay? I mean, if there's a whole world going to fall apart if you're sick, it shouldn't be that way. Schedule next is environment. As the administrator, as the leader in your office, you should set a certain environment. The lobby should be clean. The reception desk should be clean. It should be cleaned and uncluttered on a regular basis. Who does that? In the old days, I did it. Now we have these really generous college students who come around and dump my trash. They dump my trash, and then they say thank you to me. It's just amazing to me every time. I go, no, I thank you. No, you thank me. But it's wonderful. They had come through, and I get to meet them all, and they dump my trash. But I didn't always have somebody to come dump my trash. Somebody needs to do it, and we need to be a good example in that. But the environment in your office is set by you, and it's so similar to a home. As the leader, you can either be a thermostat, or you can be a thermometer. You can either reflect the temperature that's already there, hothead, depressed, tired, or you can be the thermostat and set that temperature at cool, collected, spirit-filled. Because you're the leader, and you have a relationship with the people, therefore they're going to follow you. Okay. Your environment. Provide oversight of schedules, environment, equipment, and supplies. This is another area that I did for many, many years. If we ran out of letterhead, it was my fault. But I made sure we never ran out of letterhead. Yellow pads, pens, paper clips, whiteout, all of that. I developed a system of inventory. I checked the inventory once a week. If something was getting low, I ordered it. And now someone else helps me with that. But that's providing oversight in the office. And it's not just my little desk. Does my desk have a pen? No, does everybody have a pen? not just my little desk have paper clips. Everybody needs paper clips, copy paper, you know, all those things involved in oversight. Okay, so guide your office to through, first of all, we talked about people and then protocol. And then last, Roman numeral 3, guide your office through problems. And really, philosophically, this is probably the meat, the heart of this lesson. Letter A, be willing to tackle problems. Somebody who's a reluctant leader, like me, doesn't like to tackle problems. Okay, but somebody, to benefit, you can't just let them go. If somebody's has a bad attitude, or somebody needs, have somebody in a role where she's just not thriving, somebody has to deal with that. And we need to be willing to tackle problems. Blind-sighted leaders are blind-sighted. Something Pastor Chapel says all the time. So somebody with blinders on, a blind-sighted leader, oftenly is blind-sighted by a problem. How many times you said, I never saw it? Maybe you never saw it because you're blinder. You're blind-sighted, meaning you're not looking around, you're not paying attention, you're not seeing what's going on around, you're in your little tunnel all the time. And you're not paying attention. If you're the administrator, if you're the leader, you need to be have a little bit more broad vision and be seeing what's going on. If you are the leader for a reason, now here, let me park here a minute. I tell our staff, you could be a 21-year-old junior or senior in college, and we've brought you onto our staff because we're interested in hiring you. Okay, and you think, I'm just a 21-year-old, whatever. Whoever you are in here, doesn't matter how old you are. Somebody is watching you. Somebody in your church wants to be just like you. She thinks you have the best job and you have a really good life. Don't tell her otherwise, first of all. But there is somebody who wants to be just like you. And don't think, not me. You don't know me. I know what I'm talking about. I denied it for years. I'm just a secretary. I just. But somebody's watching you. And they know when you're late. That person knows when you're not there. That person sees your countenance fall in situations in church. Somebody walks up to you and asks you to do something. They see your countenance because they're watching you. Are you a good example? Like it or not, you can deny it, but it's there. You all looking at me? I'm serious. It's there, okay? And you are the reason, you are the leader. Somebody has given you a leadership role for a reason. Be proactive with it. Be a good example. Learn leadership. Embrace it. Maybe that's what I'm trying to say. You can deny it, and you'll kind of huddle and be a little scared. Or you can say, Lord, this is the role you have me in. Help me to embrace it and to grow in it and to thrive in it in this environment that God has put you in. Don't let things go. If you let things go, you will teach that person that she's the exception, and then you have a problem on your hand. Because there isn't an exception, really. Okay, we need to be careful about that. I tell this to our secretaries all the time, if you notice it, do something about it. There's a reason you noticed it. Now, see, around here, you tend to go, hey, brother Blue Crew, go fix that. There's paper on the floor. Well, I can pick up paper on the floor. Why does Brother Blue Crew have to do the paper on the floor? I saw it. I can do something about that. And there's many applications to that in your church. Observe to do. I love that Bible concept. You know, it's, of course, it's talking about the commands of the Lord. But I like to apply that to office staff. Observe to do. If you saw it, do something about it. The plant that's out of place, something that needs to be dusted, something that needs to be fixed. If you can fix it, fix it. If you see it, if you notice it, do something about it. And again, you're being a good example here. I have an open door policy for those that I oversee, and that leads me to the letter B, which is listen. We're talking about guiding your office through problems. If you've been building a relationship, which is what we talked about in point one, loving people, reminding them to love people, if you've been building a relationship with them, then any kind of correction or any kind of thing, anything you have to do that upsets the apple cart is easier. The pastor said this in his session this morning, rules plus relationships. He has a saying with teens, raising teens, rules without relationships breeds rebellion. And that's true on your staff, too. If you don't have a relationship with them, but you want to bring down the hammer, you're going to breed anger. Okay, same thing with your staff. But if you've been building that relationship, then solving problems is much easier. And part of that is listening. I read some statistics. I don't think I can regurgitate them. But most people think they're a very good listener, but they really aren't. And that's proven by just having somebody listen to something like a message or a sermon and then have them regurgitate it. They can't, because they're really not listening. It's very common. And we think we're good listeners, but we're so busy thinking about what our response is going to be that we're really not listening. And I find that as in the office here, one of the most important ways that I spend my time is listening. Someone will come, they'll knock on my door. Got a minute? Sure. I got a big stack, but sure. And they just want to talk. So often, they just want to say something. Something's going on in their life, or something's going on in their family, or something they're struggling with, or you know. And they just want to talk. And sometimes I can help them solve a problem, but sometimes I just listen. But it's a very valuable aspect of administration. But you know why that they want to knock on my door? Because they know I love them. And they know I care. And they know I pray for them. That's why they want to knock on my door. And that's a relationship, and I can help solve problems, and I can maybe head off things before they get bad and before they boil over. And that's being approachable, too. We need to be approachable. You know, sometimes it's funny to me when we hire new staff and they're afraid of me. I'm like, afraid of me? What? But and then some of that's respect, and I appreciate that. And some of that's history. I appreciate that. You know, when pastor stands up and says whatever he says, you know. But they don't need to be afraid of me. You know, I want to be their friend, and I earn that because I love them. So letter B is listen, and letter C is strive for consistency. Guide your office through problems. How you deal with problems, when you deal with problems consistently, you really help your office. If you treat one person this way, and this or the one situation this way, or one situation that way, because no matter what, people talk. You can believe that they don't, but they do. Okay, they talk. And so we need, in my life, in the way I lead, in the way I administrate, I need to be consistent in my teaching, what I say to them. I don't want to teach them one thing and the next year teach them something different. I want to try to be consistent in my teaching. Mark Twain said, few things are harder to put up with than the annoyance of a good example. Now think about that. Do you ever get annoyed by someone who's always doing something right? Because it kind of reflects on you. Okay? But that kind of annoyance you can trust and encourages you, and you want to pay attention to, and you want to watch. Okay, so encourage your life to be consistent. So now that we've gone through these points, I want to go back to our scripture that I read at the very beginning. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And that very much sums up the things we talked about today, being a good example, having entrance into the lives of your staff, and therefore being able to lead them in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. That's where we get into our consistency, a pattern. What is your pattern of good works? Do you have a pattern of good works? And maybe there's some things here that I said today that would be a blessing to you. And let me pray, and we will be done for the afternoon. Let's pray. Our wonderful Father in heaven, thank you again for these few moments together. Thank you for these folks that you've gathered here. Lord, I pray you'd bless their churches, bless their homes. Lord, I don't know what they left to come here, but Lord, I pray that you'd bless and provide and use what is said at this conference to help them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And let me say one more thing about a conference like this. I know it's only Tuesday, but I'm sure you probably all feel a little overwhelmed and like you've gotten a lot, you've heard a lot. And I want to encourage you to take your notes and put them somewhere where you can look at them in 6 months and pick one thing at a time to work on. Maybe you went to a lesson, Mrs. Chappell's lesson a little while ago, and she gave you 5 or 6 things that you really want to work on. Pick one, work on it, and then go back to your notes and pick. Because you know what? Otherwise, you'll get discouraged and you'll close it and you'll never pick it up again. So pick one, go for it, and then pick another, go for it, and hopefully that'll help you.